Hello, I'm Mr. G. The G is not for Google, but it fits. And thank you for joining me on a journey where we learn from different EdTech leaders.
Welcome to Aced Tech.
Hello, welcome everybody. Thank you so much for being here. I know it has been a while since I've been here before, and I have a very special guest today, and this is going to be awesome. I was in her show, but I'll let her tell you more about it. Thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Karen. Dr. Karen has a doctorate in education, a master's in education. She's a Google for Education certified educator level 1, 2, trainer and innovator. And speaking of your show, can you tell me more about your show?
Sure. Hi, Carlos. It's so great to be here. I appreciate and I'm happy on your show today. One of my latest projects is I'm working with Sandy Bansal, and we have a podcast called Chat with Internet. The podcast is basically a laid-back discussion about education today, and it started back when Sandy was teaching in Italy, and then she moved to Sweden, and we talked about the changes in education and the things that were going on and what was happening in the classroom, both on both sides of the pond, as we like to say. And basically, it's just we make a plan and we talk about technology and talk about just being working parents and mothers and empowering women. So we've tried to talk about all kinds of stuff, but it's we wanted to be the setting to be like if we went to a pub or something and just talk, and you know how the conversation kind of and so that's what it is. So but it usually lasts for about 30 minutes 45 minutes. We cover all kinds of topics, and we're hoping to grow it and hoping that people will be guests like you were a guest and talk about their projects and what they're working on, and we just want to move the conversation forward. And that's basically what the podcast is all about.
And again, thank you so much for being here. That's awesome. And I noticed I'm recording from home, but see that you're recording from the back seat of your car studios.
Yes, mobile studios. Yes, mobile studio.
Yes.
I hope that we're working out. It's coming across all right.
That's awesome. All right. Well, so it's time to start talking about today's main event. So. We're going to talk about the updates that Google has. So we're going to start first with something very important. Recently, Chrome was under attack. So there's an important, you know, when a browser is popular, there tends to be this, or just about anything, an operating system, there tends to be this attack. Hackers trying to get your information or whatnot. But in either case, Chrome already patched the problem and they sent an update. So if you haven't updated your Google Chrome browser or computer, make sure you have the latest. Check for the latest software. Make sure that it is installed on your browser or your Chromebook.
Hey, Carlos,
speaking of Chromebook, yes.
I just wanted to say, updating Chrome is one of the easier, it's an easy browser to update because as you log in again, it loads the newest version, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, So that, you know, that's just another reason to love phone, is that get latest updates and the most safe updates. You just log out and log in. That's the beauty of Chrome, I think.
Yes, and I actually just updated my Chrome. So it's telling me that they're celebrating 10 years. And that's the other one, as you're going to see here, that Google for Education said that there's 10 years. So what's new with this 10-year update, other than the security patches, right? So there's the... your Android phone can directly control... you can control directly your Android phone through your Chromebook. I want to try this one. I just updated it right now, right before this show started, so I want to see how that works. Faster synchronizing of Wi-Fi, powerful screen capturing tools. Okay, so this includes recording video from the Chromebook directly. There's, I'm a fan of Screencastify, but I'm going to start trying to see what Chromebook screen capture does. I don't know if it's going to have some editing software or not, but let's see what that one does.
Yeah, you know, I'm a wee video girl.
Oh yes, for video editing, there's no Chromebook comparison so far.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one to try.
Okay, go ahead. You can now copy and paste using you can copy several things at once and paste what you want to paste specifically. So copy several, then paste several. Right now, I'm using multiple desktops. I'm not sure if you've known this, but Chromebooks have desktops as well, or desks, whatever you want to call it. And just about anything already has like several desks. You can switch between several desks using the on Chromebook is the key right above the number 6. That's how I remember it.
Yeah.
You can personalize your lock screen. You have easy access to media controls, which I'm looking forward to seeing at a later time. Okay, so those are the updates for Chrome. Now, there's this one, the Professional Certificate Training Program, the one that is Grow with Google. Do you know about this one?
I've investigated it a little bit. I like how they use the micro credentials where you get different topics where you get a certificate for Chrome, for the apps.
Yes, and recently I tried doing one of them. It's called the IT support, and I got the fundamental certificate. It is not the complete course. It is just the first module of the course. So at the very least, getting something like that is a good step forward. It is, some of the classes are through the website Coursera, which does cost money, but it's a lot cheaper than, let's say, going through college, getting a bachelor's degree in IT support, where Google provides you the training essentially for free. You just have to pay for access through Coursera. And it has several. Yeah, it has several options. It's not just like, let me click on the link that you provided. It's not just IT support. There's data analytics, project management, UX design, and Android development. These things are things that you would have to go to college for, pay a lot of money to train, and Google's providing it essentially for free. And the cost is minimal because you're just paying for access to it.
Right.
So,
and you always have access too. That's one thing I
yeah.
like.
Yes, and it's awesome.
And think about how the benefit that is for people just getting into the tech field, or who maybe they're starting out at a lower level, but they want to build up their skills. I think this is a great way to start.
Yeah, and just looking at the statistics here, no experience necessary, learn at your own pace. And some of these can earn in an average starting salary of $63,000, which I'm not making that much as a teacher. So, I wonder.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in California.
Yeah, true. I guess it depends where you're in demand. And somewhere in California would be very expensive to live, but maybe through remote IT support could be done remotely. So that's something. Okay. So next up, if you own a Google Pixel, now you have this recorder, and I haven't recorded anything here, but essentially, you can, if you had the recorder on your Google Pixel, it now saves to the cloud. So you can actually save that recording to the cloud. So that's awesome. Okay, so now we're starting with Google for Education. And there's this thing called the Rebrand Toolkit, because there's just Workspace for Education, excuse me. It used to be called G Suite, and now they changed it to Workspace. So here's the Rebrand Toolkit. They're going to talk a lot about how to use it. And I provided that in the Wakelet, which I'm going to provide that in the show notes. And by the way, the show notes will be available on aced.tech/37 as soon as it goes live as a podcast episode. So from G Suite for Education to Google Workspace for Education. A lot of the icons, I'm sure you've seen changes of the icons. So, yeah. And some of them are new, like Jamboard. I mean, fairly new, right? But
yeah.
There's different tiers as far as how much an educational institution is going to pay. I'll talk about that later. Let's see here, some of the highlights. And it gives you here guides as to how you can display Google for Education and what to avoid in this example. So all those, avoid those, more information. Yes versus no.
Let's see. Because some people try to get a little creative, and they go a little crazy.
Yes. So here's one. I'm sure Gmail versus Google Smell, that sounds funny, but that is not what they want, right? Google Smell. Then Google Meet. They don't want the word meets unless it's several, plural, right? And then you would have several right there. So it's Google Meet singular. The only time I guess this would apply is if it's plural. Otherwise, it's incorrect. Yeah, but yeah. But either way, so here's more information as to the proper ways of yes, no, and other rebranding toolkit essentials and other questions. Okay. Grasshopper, if you have never used Grasshopper, it's for somebody that is beginning to learn to code, a great way to use an app on the phone or even a website to start learning to code. And it's now available in Spanish. So if you have never used Google's Grasshopper or Google Grasshopper, and it's now available in Spanish. And this is important for my end. My population is English and Spanish speaking population, so this helps. Okay, so let's get more into the Google Workspace for Education. There are three essential tiers with an upgrade available. And the fundamental is the one that you have seen before. I'm sure you've seen this. There's the basic tools that you have used. It's free. There is one problem. It is no longer unlimited storage. This is something that is new. No longer unlimited storage. You will have 100 terabytes of storage, which is a lot, but it is not unlimited. From there, you can upgrade. And this is per teacher license. Or you can upgrade to the standard. So fundamentals, the next one is standard, and the last one is plus. So let's look at the standard. Standard is per student. So you're only going to pay $3 per student per year. And this is just security, audits, rules. A lot of it has to do on the end of, for security purposes or audit purposes, anything that has to do with the administrative side. That's the standard. And then the standard, you can upgrade some teachers to the teach and learn licenses. Okay. Before I talk about the plus, so from fundamentals to standard to plus, because fundamentals and standards, you can upgrade some teachers to the teaching and learning upgrade. Let me talk real quick about those upgrades. The upgrades that you can give to specific teachers is going to be $4 per license per year. So it doesn't have to be teachers, right? It could be administrators or anybody. Yeah. And then we have Google Meet, which if it got brought down to 100 participants, it's now going to be available to 250 participants for those that have this license. And it will have the 10,000 viewers, Q&A, polls. And by 10,000 viewers, I mean, I'm not sure if you ever used the streaming service that Google Meet had, but you were able to stream. No?
My school didn't.
Okay. Well, it's the streaming. What happened is if you reach your 250 participants in Google Meet, you could stream within your school. And streaming within your school would be about 100,000 participants, and they would just be passive participants. So they wouldn't be able to talk, chat, or in any way interact. Only the first 250 that join in would be able to do so. Anybody else would have to join in through the stream. Classroom upgrades. There's some add-ons coming soon. Originality report will be available. And student work repository will be available. Storage can be upgraded using this teach and learn upgrade. But the last time I checked, there was no information on this.
Oh.
Okay. So what is plus? Plus is a combination of standard plus the upgrade with a few enhancements, like the 100,000 viewers instead of 10,000. All right. So there's this thing called Cloud Solutions, and basically is using a Chromebook to access a virtual desktop. And you could run things like Photoshop, AutoCAD, and other things that would be virtually impossible to run on a Chromebook because they need to be installed. So some of those things are the things that might not be possible. Although if you do have Linux capabilities on your Chromebook, then you can install the Linux version of some of these softwares. And depending on how powerful your computer is, you could install some really good Linux versions of some of these programs.
Yeah. We usually use that in the IT world to impersonate, to go into someone's computer to repair if we had to actually access their desktop. We used to use that. That must have been what morphed into the cloud solution. So it's in the management form, right? This that lane.
Yes, and that's exactly what I was going to say. That it does have a way to provide support, answers questions through a virtual agent, and on top of that, you could use a remote desktop to access a live person helping somebody else. So
yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
And what's coming soon for Google Classroom? There's a lot of things that are coming soon and upgrades. Some of these may be available like right about now. All of them or others are going to come in a bit later. But I'm sure you know that one of the big ones that teachers ask for is RTF, rich text formatting. And this is something that they've been wanting for Google Classrooms for a long time, and it's been very difficult to format this, right? They had to go to a different website to create some kind of Unicode text to bring it back. It was very difficult to do, so hopefully this comes soon.
Yeah.
Original reports will be available in new languages.
Beautiful.
Which if you're teaching language arts in different languages, like in my school we have our regular English language arts, but we also have foreign language arts like Spanish. Come to think of it, in my school we only have Spanish as a foreign language arts, but I'm sure that there's other schools that have French or German here in Texas at least.
Yeah.
Classroom on Android will be able to work offline, which means that once you have internet access, they will be able to synchronize.
Awesome.
Yes, and this is something that our students really needed, because some of my students have internet access, but not all of them. And it was difficult for those that have limited or no internet access to be able to do the work. They would have to go somewhere to do the work. At least this way, they would be able to go to somewhere, have their phone synchronized or their Android tablet synchronized, or Chromebook for that matter. And once they come back, they'll have access to all that information, submit everything. The teacher, of course, is not going to get it, right? But once they submit it, they'll go to somewhere where there's internet access, and then it gets submitted. And then after that, the teacher will get it. It's not like it's going to magically appear out of nowhere, right? But it does have to be synchronized through the internet at one point or another.
Yeah.
And track student engagement. All right, so the next one. Google CS First. If you have never heard of Google CS First, it's a really fun way of learning how to code using this program called Scratch. Scratch is web-based, so it's awesome for Chromebooks. But now Google CS First integrates Scratch seamlessly without having to leave the website and go into a different tab or create another account. With your school account, that's all you need, and everything is there, which was very difficult if you used Google CS First in the past. Now that is easy to access. I've tried it with my class. It's just a breeze compared to what I had to do in the past. It was so difficult before.
That's beautiful. You know, some of our teachers use monitoring software so they can help keep the students on track. And keeping them in the same tab is so helpful for educators especially when you're doing something like coding, when you need this environment where students can click around and make their mistakes and keep trying, and teachers can monitor that, and it's so much easier to keep it all in the same program. It's great. I think that's a great improvement.
Yes, that's awesome. Okay. So next up is Google Meet. There's some updates coming up. Some of them are actually already available. But this is what's coming soon if it's not available already. Now, I've seen some of those already available, but let me go through them. Ending the meeting for all. Now, this is already available. But one of the updates that is coming is including breakout rooms, which breakout rooms is one of the paid tiers. If you don't have breakout rooms right now, it's not going to matter much, but at least the ending the meeting for all is available.
Yeah.
More control on mobile devices. So before, well, right now still, there's you still don't have enough control as to what you can do on a mobile device whenever you have a meeting. It is very limited. So hopefully more controls will be available soon for mobile devices. We have the ability to mute all or prevent unmuting, which was a real problem. I mute everybody and then somebody mutes themselves and they forget to mute themselves, and it's just...
Yeah.
Raise your hand. You've seen that before, the hand emoji. But now, the hand emoji. But now it has other emojis available, which is awesome. It has, this is fairly new. And I just saw this not so long ago. I think there is a heart. I don't remember exactly what they are at the moment. I just saw it a few days ago. I tried it out and I don't remember all of them, but it's awesome. It is more than just
thumbs up. Yeah. Indicating whether you understand something or you have a question. It's more specific than the raise your hand.
Yes. Oh, the applause. That's the one that I wanted to say. There's the applause emoji. That's the one that I wanted to remember, but I couldn't remember. So that's the one that I wanted to talk about. It has several, including applause, so you can, instead of raise your hand, applaud somebody. Okay, now you can create breakout rooms from Google Calendar. So ahead of time, you can move people in Google Calendar, set up a meeting, and put those breakout rooms. And again, the breakout rooms are the paid version. So if you have that, you will be able to, if you don't already, use it from Google Calendar.
Yeah.
That's going to save time. especially when it's a large meeting and you want to make sure that people are with specific people. If you're differentiating instruction, then that's something that you really want to do. Make sure that it is properly mixed, not just at random. Yes. Especially if it's some of the groups, as you mentioned, that they choose their own partners, then allowing for that to happen. Live captions in new languages. I think I tried it in Spanish and it was working in Spanish fairly well. And soon to come, attendance reports on better attendance reports on Google Meet. Okay, so Chrome gets an educational refresh. And it says available soon, but I just got the update, which was a built-in screen recording app or tool. So that's the one that I just talked about at the very beginning, that I got that update, and I'm can't wait to try it out to see how it works. Built-in screen recording. The other one that is very important is called pre-provision tokens for zero-touch enrollment. That's a mouthful, but what that means is normally the Chromebooks would come to school, then, or to your school district, then the technology department would have to enroll those Chromebooks to the admin panel. With pre-provision tokens, you can create a pre-provision token on the admin panel, give that token to your supplier. Your supplier will pre-enroll your Chromebooks. That way, when they arrive, they're already set up and ready to go.
Yay! That is remarkable. Really good. I remember spending many hours with a scanner scanning the number of a Chromebook, assigning it to just doing all kinds of enrollment stuff. It was a sweep, kind of. We just converged all these new Chromebooks. So that is so fabulous. It can save a lot of time, a lot of IT departments.
Yes, that's something that is going to save a lot of time, especially in these days that it was so difficult to provide Chromebooks for everybody. Something like this would have helped.
Right, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we had this really nice VR experience in the past, and it's pretty much all going out. But I think it's integrating with Google Arts and Culture. So now there's a lot of educational resources that you can find with Google Arts and Culture. And you can explore space, physics, art, not just arts and culture. There's just a lot of information there. VR, AR, that is going to help you. And
I'm glad it's all together.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much integrating everything that was everything into Google Arts and Culture, but making it more educational friendly.
Yeah.
So in one of the last things that I want to talk about is Jamboard. And Jamboard is soon going to have history, version history. The one thing that I understood from this version history is that it's not going to have the name of the person that made the change. I'm not sure why that is, but version history, I know it was something that we really needed. And many times somebody made a mistake and it was just nearly impossible to get back. Now it has version history, but it still doesn't say who did the mistake. And if you work in middle school, you know why this is very important.
Yeah, when cards on Jamboard disappear, yeah, that's or you get 15 adds on to the end.
Yeah.
It's good to know who people do that.
Now, this is all I was able to find. Have you seen anything recently that in Google for Google updates?
Nothing more. Just mainly the last one I saw was about Jamboard. That was the big one. And people are putting out some really cool templates that I've noticed as well. Maybe we could link some of those in the show notes. I can send you some. Just some really awesome templates for Jamboard.
That's awesome. Thank you. I would really appreciate that. I know that Jamboard, something that is very recent, that if you didn't know, Jamboard now has the ability to add backgrounds. So that is going to be a game changer.
Mm-hmm. It's a great tool.
Yes. All right. Well, let's move on to the last part of this show. Okay, so to end this, I just want to say thank you so much for being here. Tell us again where they can find your show or a website you would like to promote.
Okay, sure. The podcast is Chat with Sandy and Karen, and it's found on all great podcast hosting services. And we also have a YouTube channel of the same name. You can find us on social media at ChatWSK1. And that's just kind of the current thing, and I just really appreciate you, folks, and I enjoyed having you. We enjoyed having you on our chat, and you're welcome back anytime.
That's awesome. Definitely. Thank you so much, and thank you, everybody, for joining. We'll see you on episode 38. Have a good one, everybody. Dr. Jackson, please stay with me, and I'll talk to you after the show.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Aced Tech.
I would love to hear from you. Send me a message on aced.tech/feedback, where you can record your voice, tag me on Twitter, or call me to leave me a voice message. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe on the Google or Apple Podcast app, or anywhere podcasts are found. I'm Mr. G. Cheers.